Hi, good afternoon. I'm Bobby Brody, Chair of the Senate. And don't think you missed anything in case you didn't even see the email because you were trudging home. There was no meeting on February 13th, so this is actually the first Senate meeting of the semester. And I'll ask for approval of the agenda. All in favor? Opposed? Amendments? Okay. Approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes. Could I have a motion to approve? All in favor? Any corrections? Okay. Well, then the first announcement is not announcement, but rather we're going to have a guest speaker, Dr. Evangelos Gizas, who is our president. President Gizas has a specialty in food science and biochemistry and previously served as interim president of Hunter College, Borough of Manhattan Community College and Hostos Community College, and as vice president and provost of Queens College about 5 years ago. At Hunter, he had also been provost and senior vice president for academic affairs before being appointed as interim president in July of 2000. He's done research in vitamin B12 binding proteins in blood and milk at Michigan State University, Mellon Institute, Long Island Jewish Hospital, and Brookhaven National Labs. It's my great honor to present our president.
Thank you, Professor Brody, for this kind introduction. I'm pleased that we had the snow on February 13th, because what I have to report today is a little more positive than I would have reported 1 month ago. Things are a little bit better. I have been asked to give a report on the status of the college, and I'm very pleased to do that. I will start with the enrollment. The enrollment, as you probably realize, is related very closely to the budget that we have. So I assume, yes, we have, and I will tell you what the enrollment is by fall semesters. So as you can see now, if you look at fall 2013, you will see that we had an enrollment of 20,000 students. And in fall 2013, we had an enrollment of 18,900 students. So there was a drop in the enrollment, and of course this translates in a drop in the budget because of the loss in the tuition, you know, that would have been generated. In the next page, we'll see what is the enrollment in the next slide for the spring semesters. You will see that we had a maximum in spring 2013, we had an enrollment of 19.2. And in spring 2014, this semester, we have an enrollment of 18,500 students. So someone can say, we had a loss in enrollment. Yes, we had a loss in enrollment, but there are good news behind. If we use the historical multipliers, coefficients that the university is using for the last 3 years, the enrollment should be 18,100 students. So we have an increase, actually, you can use the term, in enrollment over what was projected by 400 students, which means we have turned the corner. And if this trend continues, then we are going to see an improvement in the enrollment and so an improvement in the budget. Well, what was the situation with the budget? I have a rather complicated slide. Fiscal year 2014 means from July 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2014. As you will see, our tax levy allocation was $130 million, $129,928. The revenue collection, the actual revenue collection that we estimate that we'll have is $102 million. And the revenue target, what the university expects us to deposit, is $111 million. So there was a gap of $9 million. In addition to that, the college had saved from previous years $3 million. The savings are called KUTRA, which means that the total resources we have available this fiscal year, so you know, is $124 million approximately, as you will see. What are our expenditures? The personnel budget, the full-time people, okay, we call it PS regular, is $95 million. The adjunct professors is $13 million. And the temporary service are college assistants, not teaching adjuncts, the rest, are $7 million for a total of $115 million. And the OTPS that we're using is $9 million. So the expenditures were $124,000, and we have a deficit in the red of $477,000. You know, this is a figure that changes day by day, but the particular day we ran this report was close to $500,000. Now, the university mandates that colleges must have a reserve between 1% and 3%. A reserve of 1% should be $1.2 million. And of course, not only we don't have the reserve, we have a deficit. Also, we have another mandate that we must have 610 full-time faculty members. Do you see the full-time, the 610 there, the end? We must have 610. So this is a target that we try to achieve, you know, for this. So what is the situation today? Last Tuesday night, we received an email from the university that they will give us $400,000 in this fiscal year. So in essence, we eliminated the deficit. Well, it's not exactly so, because the $400,000 are given for a specific purpose, to use them in the effort to bring our enrollment to the 20,000 that is up. We submitted to the university a report, a proposal, not a report, and which we call Queen's College Enrollment and Retention Investment Plan. We asked for $400,000. They gave us $400,000 and were very helpful. However, there are some expenses that have appeared since Tuesday night. For example, we have potholes on the campus. There is an estimate to buy asphalt, we need $100,000. And the amount of salt that we have available, if there is another snowfall, is very small, and the orders go out in $50,000 increment, so we might need $150,000 because of the snowstorms. But anyway, we'll be able to handle these things, and let me go and tell you what is my prediction for fiscal year 15. Fiscal year 15 is the budget from July 1st, 2014 to June 30th, 2015. We have the deficit 477,000, which might not exist or might have been minimized to $150,000 this moment. And then there are the step increments. There is the mandatory contractual obligations to provide step increments, which in the executive budget, is the budget plan that the governor has submitted are not funded, but perhaps by the time it goes through the legislature, it will be funded, that will be good, but this moment we have to provide. For academic support lines, CLT, secretaries to the department is 210. For faculty hires, is 900,000, close to $1 million. And for enrollment management hires, we have the 520,000. Some of these will be covered by the university. We need to increase the OTPS by $1,300,000. So it appears that at the end of fiscal year 15, we are going to have a balanced budget, except that we might not have the mandated $1.2 million reserve. However, there is again the possibility that the legislature, thanks to the effort that you, students, the unions, the universities making, we restore this fund, and all of a sudden I will be able to give to the person who will succeed me some reserve as a bottom line, which will be a nice thing to do. Okay. Why we have this decrease in the enrollment? Well, there are a number of possible explanations. A significant decrease was in the graduate programs. And we can explain up to a point what happened. In education, for example, there was a decrease, some decrease, in the number of teachers from the public schools and the private schools who wanted to get the additional master's degree. We all know that what the reasons were there. Also, we had one of our programs, of our graduate programs, that faced some difficulty in accreditation, a temporary difficulty, but that decreased somehow the enrollment. And we have, and in urban studies, we don't have the agreement that we had with the Murphy Institute. Perhaps you know the Murphy Institute, the workers' education program of the university, and there was some decrease in the number of the graduate students. So we must increase the number of the programs, the master's programs, that are not related to education. Because up to now, we depended 65% in the master program on programs in education. So since there are cycles in education, then we are going to face this cycle year after year. And I have here, there, the list, a number of master programs that are under consideration. And when they are in effect, and of course it takes a year or two before you have a sufficient number of students there, at that point we won't depend too much on the number of teachers who come to take the master's degree with us. You know. In this spring semester, we did very well in recruitment of transfer students. Transfer students come to us from many colleges, but especially from three feeder community colleges, Queensboro Community College, Nassau Community College, and LaGuardia Community College. So we made a very significant effort to increase the number of transfer students. And we instituted a transfer honors program which selected students from the community colleges. They participate in honors programs and they receive a stipend. The program has been very successful. We have the first cohort of 25 students this semester, and this will double next semester. you know, so the program is successful and very well, well taken. Now, we need also to pay attention not only to the number of students who, that come into the college, but the retention of these students. So we need strategies to increase the graduate enrollment by improving the retention. And we have a number of recommendations that they relate how we admit graduate students. In some of the programs where we don't have a very large number of applications for very few places, we'll be able to have enrollments throughout the year, so the students are notified that they have been accepted. Also during the summer, our faculty are on earned annual leave, and sometimes the graduate advisors are not available. So we try to see in some of the programs of high demand how we're going to have graduate advisors at least a certain time during the summer program. You know. Also, graduate students receive, when they are admitted in May, a letter that says, congratulations, your graduate student sent whatever is a commitment, whatever commitment means in this case, you know, and then they don't hear anything more from us. Now we are going to make sure we have instituted a procedure in which they are going to hear from the president, from the dean, from the department somewhere, you know, so throughout the year we'll be in contact with the students who already have been accepted to the programs. And then the percentage of new students who come to us as transfer students will be a little bit slightly higher than 60%, around 60%, which means that we have many transfer students that now that we have the pathways, many of them will come and they will have completed general education, and there is no way, won't be legal, will not be appropriate to ask them to take more general education courses. So we have to be ready to offer courses to them in the major, which means we have to be able to advise them for the major. So general education and major advisement need to be in contact during the summer when the transfer students, many transfer students, register with us. But this requires some change because, again, the faculty, they are on vacation, so we come with a procedure in which we'll be able to advise the students. The best way that we will try to do is, perhaps instituted in April, May, is if our people, our advisors, are able to go to the community colleges, and these students who already have indicated that they want to transfer to Queen's College, if we provide them advisement before they come to us, that might facilitate the process. We have to be careful about these things because community colleges, they don't want us to rate their students. We'll go there and we'll take the best students out. They don't appreciate it. We de-enrich their classes. But here we're talking about students who already they are ready to graduate and transfer, and they have indicated that they want to come to Queen's College. So these are things that they are in progress, and we are doing in order to increase, to make sure to facilitate the enrollment of transfer students. And then there are other opportunities. The weekend program. Our weekend program could be more successful than it is. And when I'm talking about weekend program, I'm not talking about the student who simply takes three courses Monday to Thursday, but happened that one course was not available and comes on Saturday. I'm talking about students who come to take all their courses on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We can increase the enrollment there, and there is demand for our program. We have a difficulty, of course. We cannot be teaching all these classes with adjunct professors. It's not appropriate and will not be successful. So this is something that we have to make sure that some, we provide some instruction, sufficient instruction by full-time faculty. And then there are the online courses. We have made significant progress in offering hybrid courses or courses that are enriched with technology up to a degree. We are doing better than what we are reporting to the university. I think we are doing better than that, but sometimes the interpretation of the terminologies is not that easy. Maybe we are more conservative than others in interpreting the regulations. But nevertheless, we have to increase this. We have to find one program, even if it is a certificate in education, only a certificate or a master's program that we can put totally online. Of course, this requires some commitment on the part of the college, some support. We have to have a help desk support and other supports. And also, we have to agree for ourselves, between ourselves, how we reimburse the faculty, what is the proper size. The Middle States Association, our accrediting association, has come with guidelines that we have to offer counseling to the students and advisement online. We have to solve these problems before we are successful. However, other colleges have been able to do these things. Then, a last sort of thing, I'm approaching the end, is we need to pursue the accreditation in clinical psychology, and this already has been done. The application has been set. Our clinical psychology, as well as the clinical psychology in education, they are highly regarded programs, so they need to be accredited. And finally, in business programs, we need accreditation. Now, this is not that easy for the business programs to say that we need to have accreditation, because the accreditation comes with a cost in this case, a cost in resources and a cost in the number of faculty members who have to have the doctoral degrees in specific areas. However, I saw an alumnus who took out of his pocket 2 pages from a magazine that had a trade magazine, I think, trade in accounting, that had the colleges in the tri-state area that graduate accountants, and they had by the number, the top, the largest provider on top. We were number 3, Queen's College. And guess what? On this page, we were the only college that did not have AACSB accreditation. This is going to hurt us in the long run, and we have to pursue this approach. And something else that to some of us in this room has created plenty of anxiety in the last 2 months. It is the future of the doctoral science education in the university. Before I will discuss what is the anxiety, I will tell you that we have done relatively well at Queen's College in improving the number of grants we see. What you see in 2008 is not exactly the 2008. It is the average of 3 previous years, but we did it in order to have a baseline. As you see, we have every year almost we go up, although it's not a straight line, of course, you'd not expect it to be a straight line. But something very significant is happening in the City University. The graduate school has decided that they don't want any longer to have programs, science programs, that require laboratories, because they don't have laboratories on Fifth Avenue. I think all of you know where the graduate school is. So up to now, we have a consortium. The consortium means all of us got together and put our resources together, the faculty resources and the laboratory resources, and we offer the degrees. So they say, I don't want any longer. to be with you. I will concentrate in the humanities and theoretical sciences, and many of us have read press releases last week about two well-known names, one in Nobel Prize in economics and another well-known in English, that decided to join the Graduate Center. So we are left to decide what our future is. And of course, who are the we? The we is City College, Hunter College, Queens College, and Brooklyn College. In addition to the four, there are two who have some limited interest. The limited interest is in the College of Staten Island and in Lehman College, that have very limited involvement in doctoral science education. Now, when they tell, and what we try to do, to put together consortia. Now, as you realize, getting the four different institutions from us together, we never agree on anything. In some things, we want to go with Hunter. In some things, we want to go with CCNY. Hunter does not want to go with CCNY. CCNY does not want to go to Hunter. We would prefer to go with Hunter, but Brooklyn prefers CCNY. So somehow, in this story, a solution will be found. And I bet the solution will be found the day before the new chancellor arrives, so the interim chancellor will solve the problem, you know. So let's say May 31st, okay? Something like that, that will be the solution. We are working on that. There will be some implications in the way we operate the graduate program. By the way, there is need for a master plan modification. The master plan is what the regions, the University of the State of New York, as it is called, allows us to do. So there will be a modification that will be able to offer doctoral programs. And all of you will have the honor for the first time to vote in favor of that. Maybe you will make a scroll and you will put your signature under, you know, for this, because it requires approval, not approval, the consideration of the governing body of the colleges. There will be some implications because up to now, there was one person in charge of the physics program, was called executive officer for all the four colleges, one in charge of biochemistry, one in chemistry, one in physics. These are the four major science, laboratory science. Now, if we split and we have different consortia, we might need to have more than four, which creates a little, some expense, as you realize, perhaps. Also, now the Graduate Center was doing the recruitment of students. We might have to start being involved in the recruitment of our doctoral students. And again, this might need some additional support. I think I have shared with you all we know about the doctoral science education is, I have shared everything with you. It's not a clear picture what I'm telling you that has happened, but I think by May 31st, before the new chancellors arrive, before the new chancellor arrives, we hear what the future will be. Then we have the CUNY First Financial Aid module, in which Queen's College will start using the financial aid module of CUNY First. Once a program starts working in CUNY First, then it represents an improvement. However, in the process of installing it, mistakes can happen, or we can discover errors in the software in the program, and we cannot afford to have a very difficult situation. So we try to do our best to identify problems and to be ready to handle this issue. We did not have enough people there, but with the $400,000 that we received, we were able to hire two additional counselors there, so we'll be able to go through this difficult situation. Then something else, the colleges are evaluated And the presidents are then evaluated. On the basis of this evaluation, it's called a PMP process. It means performance management process goals. And up to now, we had 70 or 80. Effective 2014-15, we are going to have 8, as you see, increased opportunity for students to be taught by full-time faculty, 40%, more than 40% of our instruction is done by adjunct professors. There is nothing wrong with adjunct professors as teachers. Many of them can be better than us who were full-time. However, they are here only to teach the 3 or the 6 hours. They're not available to write letters for you when you apply for job or for a master's program or for medical. So this is the problem. Increase faculty scholarship and research impact. Ensure that students make timely progress towards degree completion. Increase graduation rate. Improve student satisfaction. We have an instrument, a company that measures your satisfaction. And then, of course, we cannot leave the faculty out. We have to measure their satisfaction. And then increase revenues, which means fundraising for the new president. I'm doing my best in what I do. And use financial resources efficiently. You know, this is for all the colleges, senior colleges and community colleges. For the senior colleges, in addition, here is the faculty satisfaction, and increase enrollment in master's programs. As you saw, we try to do our best for that, when possible. Finally, they say that we have to come with 3 to 5 additional goals, and that they should be a consultation with all the constituents of the campus. Of course, the students, the faculty are the most important constituents in addition to the administrative staff. So in order to have this broad consultation, I have asked the executive committee that they will recommend 2 students and 2 faculty from you in this room or wherever it is. So they will be part of a committee in which there will be 4 administrators and 2 more students and 2 more faculty, and 1 faculty will chair the committee. We need a faculty member, you know, who understands this issue and has been in the college long enough to know all the issues, but I was happy enough that Professor Dean Savage of the Sociology Department very kindly agreed to chair this committee. So we need to respond by May to this. And this kind of thing, to consultation, takes time to come out with these 3 or 5 goals. So please, if possible, I will be very happy if by the end of this session, you will give me the holder of the chair will give the names of 2 students and 2 faculty members who wish to participate in that. I have to finish, say something about construction projects. The university has a project with the central chillers for the air conditioning. They will be ready between 2015 to 2020. The Fitzgerald Gymnasium, as you know, is in bad shape, let's admit it, and it requires quite a few $100 million, but we need $100 million to start the renovation. The tower in the Kiley Hall is, as you know, not available. They're changing everything. I was told they will be ready in October. I'm very pleased to hear that. I don't want to be the one who decides who comes back and who does not come back into the tower. And finally, laboratories. Some of our laboratories are renovated. I must say that we are working very hard that when air conditioning season comes, there is air conditioning in every building where it should be air conditioning. In the Queen's Hall, in the dining hall, and in the Colden Center, we are going to have rented chillers again until 2015 that I mentioned earlier. in Clapper Hall and the new science building were waiting that the ice on the roof would melt because the machinery that provides the air conditioning, some of the machinery is in the roof, and people cannot work there because there is the ice. And in the music building, there is a problem with humidity, but we're trying to ask Siemens, the company, you know, electronics, to come and provide us with advice. And then something that I volunteer to mention is we have in the university a great replacement policy in which students who have a failing grade can replace up to 16 credits. The failing grade remains on the transcript, but is not calculated in the overall GPA at the bottom of the transcript. Well, when this was established in 1991, Queen's College received a variance that from 1991 to 1993, students can repeat even courses in which they did not have a failing grade. A failing grade is the F and the WU. However, the same resolution that was passed by the Board of Trustees said that this is good up to 1993 when the financial impact of this resolution should be evaluated. Guess what? It was never evaluated. And it was discovered almost at the time that I was to be appointed as interim president. You know, it was part of my good luck. So it was difficult to come and say, extend up to date, you know, make something, for two reasons. We needed something to be done in order to protect the students and the college, of course, in case there is a financial aid disallowed. The students, of course, they have graduated, but the college has to pay. The other is someone could make a telephone call to Daily News or to New York Post, telling Queen's College gave invalid degrees. You know, of course, nothing would happen with that. People would understand what it is, but you don't want to have to answer such questions. Fortunately, with the help of friends, I'd say mostly one friend, the City University, you know, we were able to find a solution in which the Board of Trustees, the university, retroactively, it's not a good word to use, retroactively in this case, extended to the end of this semester, the period that students can repeat any course, but it will not be in effect next semester. It sounds complicated. I'm afraid I have confused all of you. I will be available to answer your question individually later, okay? And I'll ask other volunteers, if anyone understood it, what I said, please help me. That's the case. Then, yes, one more thing, the Summit Residence Hall. This is a great thing that has happened in the university, that we have a residence hall. It's a beautiful building. It's a nice experience for the students. It has brought student life in the campus on the weekends and everything else. But it has a minor problem. It runs in deficit. Why, you say? It seems, I have been told, that the occupancy should be 96% in order to break even. Well, guess what? Last fall was 91%. But there are good news. This spring is 92%. So again, we have an increase. It's more than 1% the increase. It means in the spring you expect to have a decrease. So even here, there are good news, we are moving it. And they could even better news. We're trying to renegotiate the financial agreement. The financial agreement was reached, was made for financing the summit just before the crisis of 2008. This building has a swap. I don't know if all of you were aware, SWAP. We bet that the interest rates would increase. Guess what? There are no interest rates. The banks give 0.1%. And we are paying 7% in some of these cases interest rate. But the vice president for administration, Bill Keller, understands this issue very well. And we have a consultant. We cannot handle these things by ourselves. And we hope that whoever reports here next year, we have to give you even more good news about the summit. But I had to find something good before, and it is the Princeton Review, the last one, that continued to indicate that Queen's College is one of the best colleges that you can go. So we all know that, but it's very nice when you find out that others recognize what you already know. Well, thank you very much. I don't know if you want any questions, or I took too much time, perhaps.
Any questions?
Sure, why not?
Dean Savage, College Wide at Large. You didn't say anything about our freshman cohort. You talked about transfer students, you talked about grad students. What's the situation with our first-time freshmen? What's the trend, and what do we hope to accomplish in the future?
Yes, the first-time freshmen. There is a decrease in the number of first-time freshmen in almost all the colleges and universities in Long Island. I use the Long Island in the geographical terms, you know, not in the administrative sense. There was a decrease in the number of the graduates in the previous years in the city of New York, although the borough of Queens is doing rather well, holding the number of the students who graduate from high school. What is our plan? I thought I would not have time to mention it.